In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Welcome back to Word for Life. This is Pastor John Fallahy at Brookside Baptist Church. Come and visit us. We're over on Pilgrim Road in Brookfield, and we'd love to have you join us for our services. We're picking up in James chapter 2 on the theme of partiality, and we've been surveying some interesting examples where it may look like God is showing partiality, when in reality he's not. He is just making a sovereign choice. We looked at Cain and Abel and how God chose Abel's sacrifice over Cain's. We're looking at how Abraham was chosen out of all the people of the nations and how he would become a nation. We looked at Jacob and Esau, how God used his sovereign choice to decide where or who the line would be for Christ to come through. Now let's fast forward to some New Testament examples. Ananias and Sapphira, this is a little bit different approach here, but let me read the passage to bring back your memory on Acts chapter 5, 3 and 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? What remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, and was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Now, I bring this passage in because if you recall earlier, Barnabas had sold some possessions, brought it before the church, and there were some accolades. There was some applause, some appreciation. And so Ananias and Sapphira, seeing that applause, said, hey, maybe we could sell some of our stuff and get the same kind of appreciation. But instead of giving all of it to the Lord, let's keep some of it back so we can have our cake and eat it too. We can get the applause of men and we can keep some of our goods back. But you can't lie to God. And so here's an interesting example of how partiality and favoritism, seeking the favor of men, can result in a catastrophe. And so Ananias comes before the Lord. Peter, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, sees through the ruse, calls him out on it, and God brings judgment to Ananias and his wife. They both die. By the way, it's an interesting parallel because the church had just begun, and here you have two individuals bringing worship, bringing sacrifices to the church in an improper way, and God judges them. If you remember in the Old Testament, you had Nadab and Abihu bringing strange fire before the Lord, and the Lord judged them, says, I will be treated with holiness. And so this is a very interesting parallel between those two. But you can see how favoritism and partiality, when people perceive it, they want to get in on the applause, on the accolades, and as a result, they end up sinning in the process. And this is a really important insight, guys and gals and those listening. When someone shows favoritism, when someone shows partiality, when there's an improper balance, people see that and they adjust accordingly. Some become bitter. Others will sin in different ways, but nothing good ever comes from partiality and favoritism. And if you've ever been on the short end of the stick, you know what it's like when others treat you unfairly, unjustly. This is a kind of sin that is just prevalent everywhere. Yeah, another example of this is the parable of the laborers. You might recall in Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go to the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. And again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour. And likewise, in about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And likewise, they received each a denarius. And when they received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men worked only 1 hour, and you make them equal to us who bore the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give the last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now, what's the point of this parable? Jesus is showing us that heaven is the denarius in many ways. That some of us are going to work harder and longer than others. But that doesn't change the reality that we're saved by faith alone, in Christ alone, and that each of us get access to heaven when we have trusted in Christ. And it's true, some people will do more for the kingdom than others. Now, there's a separate judgment for that called the judgment seat, and there's a seat of reward, and God will reward you for all the hard work you do. But entrance into heaven, whether you come early, whether you come late, is all the same. If you come in Christ and Christ alone, by faith alone and Christ alone, then you get entrance into heaven. And this is such an important concept. Let me give you a couple more examples. 1 Samuel 2:6. Let me jump back to Old Testament. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he lifts up. This is a hard truth. When we look out in the world and we see people who are rich and people are poor, our heart gets frustrated, doesn't it? The disparity. And sometimes we even think in our heart, God, why is it that evil people are rich ones? Why are they getting away and making even more money? But we have to understand that God has a plan and he is sovereign. Here's a perspective to think about this. It may be the case that that person is corrupt and the money they have, they did it illegally. But you don't know the circumstances. So we have to be careful passing judgment too quickly. But even or, let's say they're an unbeliever and they acquired their wealth illegally and they lied and cheated to get all of it. In the end, if they don't repent, this is their best life now. And I think sometimes we lose perspective of time. We look in the immediate moment and say, God, this is unjust. And there may be some injustice. But do you really want God, in the split second you say that, to make everything right? The last time God made everything right, it was called the flood, and only 8 people survived. The truth is, all of us are tainted by sin. All of us fall short. But God, in his grace, delays judgment so that you can be saved, so that your neighbor can be saved, so that as many people as possible can be saved. Don't worry, God is impartial. He will not be mocked. And justice will come in its own time. You and I, in the meantime, be patient. Trust in the Lord. Walk faithful. Do not covet. And so when you see others who have what you don't have, be thankful for them. Because again, you don't know all the circumstances. More importantly, maybe this is an opportunity for you to show the love of Christ and share the gospel. Who knows? Maybe that rich person will get saved and all that wealth will be used to make a difference for the kingdom. Remember Zacharias? Right? You know, he took all his wealth as a tax collector. He gets saved and he's ready to give it to the poor and make a huge impact for the kingdom. But then remember the rich young ruler who walked away because he had wealth he did not want to give up. These are the challenges we have. And when we look at a rich person or a poor person and we make judgments, we have become partial. And this grieves the Lord. Let me give you one more example. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, this one verse tells us about how God sends the Holy Spirit and begins to impart gifts to believers. And each gift is different in different proportions or in different gifts completely. And if we who are Christians look at one another with partiality and envy and jealousy and selfish ambition, and we look at those gifts and we get angry or frustrated and say, why couldn't I have that? and we get mad because someone has more talents than us. We have judged wrongly. See, God is the one who's in control, distributing the gifts as he wills, as he sees fit. And remember, he's doing this with all righteousness. So whatever gift you have, don't look at others with envy. Instead, say, how can I cultivate this amazing gift from God and make a difference and impact the world for Christ with this gift? That is how we are to respond. Be impartial. Don't look with eyes of partiality or favoritism. So this theme of partiality is real, and it is everywhere. And the sad part is it starts to get involved in our relationships. For example, look at Genesis chapter 29, verse 30. Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. This is a sad blot on Jacob. He clearly loved Rachel more than Leah. And I'll promise you, this showed up in his life. Where he spent his time, which children he preferred. This favoritism was disastrous for his marriage and for all his various sons. And this favoritism, modeled by Jacob, carried on to his children. Genesis 37, verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. As a result of that favoritism, the other brothers became jealous and tossed him into a pit. Genesis 25, 28. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate his game, but Rachel loved Jacob. As I mentioned earlier, those parents modeled favoritism. But what does the law say? Leviticus 19:15, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. 2 Chronicles 19:7, now therefore let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, nor taking of bribes. This is so important to understand. We have to judge by the facts of the matter. And when you don't have the facts, when thoughts are incomplete and you lack the information, you're incapable of judging properly. So hold off on the judgment. Wait till the facts are there. And then judge righteously. Judge properly. Judge as the Lord would judge. This theme continues on, and I'm looking forward in our next time together to explore James chapter 2. But I challenge you, guard against the sin of partiality. It's like a cancer, and it spreads from one generation to the next. So in your workplace, in your family, if you have shown partiality, repent of that right now. Confess that to God and begin to show the love of Christ without partiality to those around you. If you want our show notes, email us at wfl@brooksidebc.org. Come visit us. We'd love to meet you and tell us you heard about us on the radio. Until then, may the Lord grow you and shape you into His Son's image.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at the Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about the Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.